Thank you, Lord, for another fine day. Thank you, Lord, for getting rid of all this snow around here, warming it up a bit. We just praise you, Father, for all the great weather we've had today. Lord, we thank you for bringing down the faction in the nations, with the world, and in the church. And we praise you, Father, for doing that, to straightening out your people that would come out of those apostate religions. And Lord, we thank you for opening up the eyes of the people to see what's going on out there. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us the people that are going through to be in the bride, Lord, to give us at least this 3.5 years of veritable peace from the governments. We know there's going to be a lot of natural disasters and things, but that's okay. We just hide in you, Lord. Psalm 91, we just hide in you, under your wings, Lord. And we thank you for giving us the faith to believe, Lord, that you're going to take care of us, provide for us, feed us, keep us healthy, and all of those things, Lord. And we just praise you for it. Lord, bless us tonight as we come together in fellowship and love, because I feel the love in this group, and it's awesome, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for working in all of us to just be the first thing on our mind is to love everyone. And Father, we just praise you and glorify you for the work that you're doing in us. Lead us tonight, Lord, into the things that you'd have us to speak and talk about. And Father, we thank you for an open heaven, that when we pray, we know that our prayers are always answered. We praise you, Father, for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? I'll tell you what, let's do. I had a request from Julie to play this song by Sounds of Rain. And I think it's appropriate to do it right now. So I'm just going to go ahead and hit the button.
Numbered every grain of sand.
That was a good song. She's about ready to hatch out, y'all. Yeah. She's got six bars.
This one's finally a girl.
Huh?
This one's finally a girl.
How you know?
Because I saw them tell about it.
Yeah, it's going to be a girl. It's going to be a little, number seven's going to be a girl. I was hoping for a baseball team. Two more, they'd have had that baseball team. Oh, well. All right. We'll open up the little David is wearing his tuxedo. Where do you see that at? All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Let's go ahead and get started here. Look at that boy. Got that tux on. You go, boy. Tell you what, you fixing to go out on the town, aren't you? Glory to God. Fixing to preach a big message. That's what he's fixing to do. Amen. Hey, David. Hey, buddy. Hey, buddy. Glory to God. All right. I'll bless that baby in the name of Jesus. All right, who's got a prayer request? Julie, you do. You need to pray. You need to pray for.
I do, but I think, Josie, did you have something? You put something that you had a prayer request?
Yes, I did. Thanks, Julie. And I do for my eldest son, who attended a wedding over the weekend and picked up a gift, the COVID. And I really, I'm sure that the Lord was there already and answered my prayer in advance. So I'm just, if everyone would agree that his symptoms have already left him and the Lord has already taken care of this. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We believe it too. Lord, we hook our faith up with Joseph. We believe our son is completely healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We praise your holy name for his testimony that he has been healed by your by the prayers of the saints for him, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God, glory to God. Go ahead, Geneva.
Hi, everybody. If I could just get prayer for better sleep. The baby is definitely at this time having some growth spurts. So I am tossing and turning all throughout the night and just I have not been sleeping very well. And then been getting a lot of heartburn, which I know they say is normal, but last night I woke up and I was rebuking it in Jesus' name and telling it to go and thank the Lord it did go. And then I woke up again and it started in again and I told it to leave in Jesus' name and it left. And then I finally slept for a few hours and then I woke up the morning and it started in again. So I've just been like rebuking it all day. So if we could just pray and believe, because it's just uncomfortable and I feel very restless and I want to get some good sleep before the baby's here.
Okay. Missy, go ahead.
Well, I'll pray for her, but I also want to give her a pointer. I had a lot of heartburn. This was even before I was saved with both my boys, especially my first one. But I found that if I drank some milk before I went to bed, that helped. So just saying, it's just something, you know, that's common. I guess you could say common sense. At least that's what I thought. But anyway, so Father,
you put chocolate
I just
in it.
No. Anyway, and probably whole milk would probably work the best because it has the most fat in it. And Claire said that helped her too. Anyway, So, Father, I just praise you and thank you for your love for all the mommies and the pregnant mommies and the babies, Lord. And I just praise you, Lord, that we would all be like the little children, be like babes, depend upon you for everything. And but Lord, I just ask you right now to bless Geneva with good rest. And we just command this heartburn to go in the name of Jesus. We command all digestive juices to stay down where they're supposed to, irregardless of the fact that she's so far along. And I just thank you, Lord, for good, sweet, restful sleep for her from now on. And I just pray, Lord, that the baby would sleep when she's sleeping, because I know sometimes they want to be active, and we just ask you to even now get the baby into a good schedule, Lord, by your sovereign miraculous hand. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yes, we thank you, Lord, that Geneva doesn't have to put up with that stuff. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that your touch has made her impervious to all of that. In Jesus' name, amen. It's going to be a complete different pregnancy from now on. She's not gonna have any discomfort whatsoever. She's gonna sleep like a baby. Amen. With the baby. All right. All right. Anyone else? Well, go ahead. Go ahead, Julie.
We need to pray for our sister Megan Cotton. I reached out to her shortly after the first of the year because I hadn't seen her in here for a while and just wanted to check on her. And she finally responded back to me here recently and gave me kind of the lowdown today. And if you recall, maybe you recall the last time she asked for prayer about her dad and her sister, that there was some division there, and her dad was pressuring her to sign an affidavit, wanting Megan to sign an affidavit for the car that was their mom's, her mom's, her and her sister's mom's. And anyhow, she didn't want to do it. She wanted to do it the right way. And there's some trouble. Her dad is still being very contentious and argumentative and trying to pressure Megan into do something that's against the law and against her conscience, and she doesn't want to do it. So she asked us to lift them up. There's also she feels like there's a wedge between she and her sister. Her coworker has agreed to take her to work because they've been using the car for this. She didn't get her license and the tags have expired on the car. So they really don't want to drive the car, but he's saying to do it anyway. That's kind of how I'm gathering the email that she sent. So she's really in an uncomfortable position right now with her dad. And yet she's, you know, she wants her job. She needs to go to work, and her coworkers agreed to do this. There's some accusations, I think, going on between her sister and her dad. There was a false accusation apparently previously that her sister made against her dad about taking her mom's stuff or something. And she, I don't know, it's just a mess. So we really need to lift her up and come against the spirits that are at work here, the control, the manipulation, the intimidation, the threats, the anger. There's unforgiveness. Megan's having some trouble here with, you know, having unforgiving thoughts towards her dad, I think. And we need to lift her up that she's going to be able to do that and pray for her dad. And that Lord would just intervene here and work out the situation. I'm not exactly sure what her living arrangement is, but she has to pray about that too, her situation and her living situation. I don't know if she's staying with her dad or not. But Lord, you know the details for Megan and what's going on in her life right now. And we pray, God, and ask that you would do a work in her dad's heart and softening the hardness that he has, the resentment, anger, bitterness, and entitlement, and Jezebel wanting to manipulate and control the situation to get something that he wants. And I thank you, Lord, that you will strengthen Megan in her faith and trusting in you to take care of her and protect her, and that she is doing the right thing, but not by not disobeying her conscience and not doing something that's against the law and that she doesn't feel comfortable doing in what's anyway. We pray for your healing touch upon Megan and that relationship with her sister, and that this wedge be destroyed. All faction, we cast it down. All of this disruption and is keeping her from being at peace and at rest and being able to join us. And any wall of hostility there between her and her family, we cast all that down. We cast down the lies and deception of the enemy that's coming against Megan and her sister. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for doing the work in her dad's heart and just bringing the fear of God upon him and granting him a gift to see that he is in deep trouble and he shouldn't be doing what he's doing. And Lord, we ask you to do all this, Lord, and put faith in Megan's heart, encourage her, bless her coworker to want to help her and take her to and from work. And we just thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. We thank you for the testimony that Megan's going to have when she comes back in and joins us again. We thank you in Jesus' name. And if anyone else wants to pray, please do. If you see something or know anything, if the Lord's showing you something, thank you.
Amen. Lord, we just ask that you place it in Megan's heart to bless her sister and her dad, Lord, and that there, so there won't be any thing in her heart against the Lord, and we praise you for that in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that she loves her dad and her sister, and she doesn't want to be caught in the middle. And Father, we just thank you for working this all out in a godly way. We praise you for it, Father. And I just believe everything that Judy prayed, believe with her, and have faith to believe that Megan is going to make it through this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, is anybody, either one, any of y'all wanted to pray for Megan, or you got something else to pray for? Okay, Pat, go ahead.
Father, we thank you for Megan. We just thank you for the spirit of innocency that's there, and a tenderness towards you and being right with you, and just a concern for her conscience, just to keep a clear conscience between you and her. And Lord, we thank you that even these trials that come upon her are there for strengthening her and giving her grace to just to seek you, to come into your presence and to receive the gift of freedom, the gift of protection, the freedom of your presence in her life. We just command, send forth the angels right now to establish a boundary around her, a hedge around her, that she is protected in all these areas, Lord, and that her innocency, her conscience will be protected. And Lord, even in the way of temptation, that you would show her the way, your way through it, your way out of it. And we thank you for that, Lord. We bind any spirit of that would be coming against her in this situation, any spirit of faction, and as Julie said, Jezebel. We don't know what's in that, in the situations there, Lord, but we know that no matter what is there, every spirit has to bow to you. Every knee of every spirit has to bow before the King of Kings. And so we just trust you, Lord, for your strength. Encourage Megan in this time and just give her a sense of peace that you are in control, you are well able to take her through this process, and that you will bring her through victoriously. And we thank you for it. Fill her with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill her with your presence, And we thank you for that, Lord, for we can go anywhere and do anything if you are with us. And we thank you for that, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Megan. All right, Nick, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to make it on Thursday, actually.
Oh, man. What's going on Thursday?
I'm going to a church event, so.
Okay. All right. Well, you teach them the word, okay?
Yep.
Amen. All right. Well, thanks for warning us.
Yep.
Yeah, we might as well just go home. Nick not going to be there. All right, Nick. Thank you, brother. All right, go ahead, Andrea.
Hello. I just have a praise report. The Lord has been just really so good. There were so many rumors these couple of weeks about the supply of shortages at the stores with regards to food and all that, that it's been like hovering over my head, creating fear, but I casted it down. And we went to the stores on Saturday and we got all the food we needed for the next 2 weeks, which was absolutely awesome. It's actually not true that the stores are empty. And also, while we were on the road, I told Edwin we haven't seen a wedge-tailed eagle in a very long time. And I left it at that. And when we came back home, there sits this massive, massive eagle on next to the road. And it was just so cool. And Edwin was like, I was actually thinking about asking the Lord whether we can see one. And there was this bird. It was just so, so cool. It's just the little things that that the Lord just provides and just blesses you with. And then the other thing is my eldest daughter, she's 6 years old. She got stung by a bee 2 days ago and her foot was like massive. We prayed over it and we casted it down because I believe that bee sting is not supposed to do anything to her body. But what amazed me was just how big this little girl's faith is in God. It really, really, really humbles me to see that God. She knows that God is going to take care of her and that foot is going to get better. And she knows, she just knows. And it's just amazing.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Talking about little girls, we've got a little girl here, Zoe, that I made a little walking stick for. And I told her, I said, I prayed for that stick. And I said, you don't use that to hit people. You use it to bless people with. And I told her, I said, when somebody touches that walking stick and they believe, they'll be healed. She went around and showed everybody that walking stick and said, if you need healing, just touch this, touch this. You'll be okay. Now that's the faith of a little 5-year-old. I'm telling you, she was so proud of that thing. Go ahead, Oz.
Hello. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
I ask that every time, just to be sure. Praise the Lord. That's a good little testimony. I was going to ask you guys for prayer. So, the wife, Mariana, and Isaiah, they're both, they're not feeling real well right now. And, I went through that last week, and I believe mine, though, was for willful disobedience. And I know the Lord taught me quite a lesson. And one, through his grace, I hope to never forget. And he healed me, and thank God for that. Them, trials of faith, and ours. And I want y'all to pray with me and believe. I'll pray, and I'm gonna believe because I know just like I is Israel maybe 2 weeks ago when he was sick. I just had enough of it, and I was really, really praising the Lord and singing and getting my word in me. And it's nighttime, and I just stretched my hand out and believed, man. I really believed it. Cause the Lord just gave me a really great dream that blessed me. about the latter rain. And man, I tell you what, he was healed because he was asleep. When he woke up, he was running around. And so I'm going to pray that with them, for them too. And y'all agree, because we know that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Father, I thank you for your lesson, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for growing us in these days, for these days. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And I say to my family, get up, get better. You are healed. You were healed. It has been done and will always be done. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. It's yours.
Amen.
Man, that's that. Thank you, God.
Amen. Behold, both of you, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for it. Jesus' name. That's right. We don't have to put up with it. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Vanita.
Yeah, hi. Hi. I had a praise report. You know, we were praying a couple weeks ago or something about that the Lord would just send people to us with open hearts that we could minister to and maybe bring into our fold. And the Lord did just that. I have a good friend that I've known for 30 years now, and her mom had a stroke or a blood clot, and she ended up coming down to Flint to the hospital here. And that's a prayer request, but anyways, my friend Kathy, she came over to our house one of the days that she was down here. And we just started talking. She was telling me about her church and that she just felt like she wasn't growing there. And she believes in prophecy and speaking in tongues, but they don't believe in any of that. And I was just like, oh man, you've got to come join us. And it was just so exciting because she brought it up. And since, you know, since I have had that experience now and I know about speaking in tongues, I could talk to her about it. And it was just so exciting. And she does not speak in tongues. And I said, well, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? She said, I don't know. I said, well, then you need to come on. We'll get you filled up and we'll get you speaking in tongues. And she said her mom a long time ago used to speak in tongues, but she doesn't do it anymore. So I encouraged her to talk to her mom in the hospital, and I don't know if this is the right thing to do or not, but encouraged her to speak in tongues and try to bring that back, revive that faith that she had. So she was discharged today and she's going home. So praise the Lord for that. And I think Kathy's going to try to join us soon here, as soon as she gets her mom settled down. So we'll be looking forward to that. Praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord, hallelujah. She'll love it.
Yep.
I believe. Go ahead, Claire.
I just want to pray for Vanita. Hello, everyone. And Kathy. I'm so excited. Thank you, Lord, for giving us so many blessings, Lord, and for knowing what we need and when we need it, and for putting this friend back on Vanita's path, Lord, and for her to maybe have a sister in close proximity who she can fellowship with and she can enjoy the word of the Lord with, and she can praise in tongues with, Father. How amazing. And Lord, far be it from me to think that praying in tongues over that woman in hospital isn't the reason why she was sent back home. So we just say thank you, Father, for your healing in all things, and thank you for taking all the glory, Lord. And we just pray blessing over Vanita and her family, and Vanita and her friend. And when two or more are gathered together, there you are. So thank you, Lord, for being in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's always good to have somebody close, isn't it? Thank you, Father.
I know I've been wanting to come down and visit you guys, but I have nobody to come down with. And I've just been thinking of all these things that I can do with her once she gets into the fold here. So I'm so excited.
Well, awesome. That'd be awesome. Listen, Vanita, you live far enough north, you could pick up people on the way down, for goodness sake.
Yeah, I told Barbara one time, I'm just going to run through through Pennsylvania, pick you up, and head down there.
Yeah, bring Barbara with you. There you go. All right. Anyone else? Catherine, I just have to ask you about that cup you had there. Is that coffee in that huge container, though? Well, while she's trying to unmute it, man, it's good to have you, brother. Amen. That's okay. Yeah, that's a nice looking cup. I'd like to have one of those myself. All right. Anyone else? Let's see, y'all. Who's on Thursday night? Is that Joe? That's you, isn't it, Joe? You're on Thursday night. Okay, good. Awesome. Lord, bless him with a good word for Thursday night. We thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait. I'm going to have an interpreter, I think, though.
Michael, did you see that Missy has her hand up?
No. Does she? Missy. You know where the thing is. Go ahead.
I hardly ever use that thing.
I know.
I've been going through a trial here. Not just one trial, but we had this big snow. We had 8 inches. It's the most we've had in quite a while, and we always had a snowblower. Well, our snowblower wouldn't work. We have a decent sized driveway, and it's too much for Merle and I to be shoveling. And it's just I've been going through trials on my body, and that makes it even harder. Let's just put it that way. And it's hard to be, oh gosh, Lord, give me the words to say this, to be patient in the situation and not, for lack of a better way of saying it, take control or whatever. I just like prayer for that. You know, it's when you're going through trials in your body and you have to do something like that, it's really a burning up of your flesh to keep your mouth buttoned, you know, because it's like you just want to get it done. And and the easiest way possible to get it done is all I can say. And so, and I've had to, I'll just put it point blank. I was like, for lack of a better way of saying it, being bossy, but not like railing or, you know, getting angry or whatever. And I had to apologize to my husband. So I told him, I said, you know, whatever you want to do to get that running, whether it's to fix it, try and figure out what's wrong with it ourselves, or take it to get it fixed, or get a new one, whatever. I said, I'm not going to open my mouth about it. And I told him it's totally in his hands. And And I wasn't really like taking total control over things. I was just making suggestions and encouraging certain things or whatever. But so anyway, so Father, I just ask you to help me with this. And I thank you, Lord, for giving Merle the grace to do whatever it takes to be led by you and to decide what he's going to do and do it and not delay, Lord, because we need that to help us do snow, Lord. So I just thank you, Lord, for working in this situation and putting a watch before my mouth and a door before my lips. And I thank you and praise you for this trial, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody else has anything?
Well, I see four options that you have here. The first one is to get the old one fixed. The second one is to buy a new one. The third one is to move south where it don't do that. And the fourth is to pray for a pole change.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't make the move south thing suggestion. Although that's my favorite one. Okay. That one is totally on the Lord's to put that into his heart. On that.
All right, Lord, we just thank you for giving Missy patience and just to keep praying and you'll do the work. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Who's next? Yes, Marilyn.
I just wanted to tag on a bit here for Merle. Father, we just thank you and praise you for this great trial. These things that just bring up things out of us that we don't even know were there. But you remove the dross from the silver and you've got a fit vessel in the finer's hand. And Father, I pray for Merle. I ask you, Lord, to make your will his desire. I pray that you're going to confirm your will and your way unto him. And Father, I pray for the gift of wisdom for Merle. And Lord, just an outpouring of your spirit on Merle. Just you're raising him up to be such a mighty man of God and the spiritual head of that family. And you're just going to show him what to do. And it's going to work out really, really well. And so, Lord, we just give you all the praise and the glory. Just pray an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon him as well to strengthen him in the inner man and to enlighten the eyes of his understanding, even not only in the things of the Spirit, Father, but in the things, the practical things, the things in the natural that need to be done. And Father, we just give you all the praise and glory for a quick answer here. We've been through some of these winters where you get a whole lot of snow, one on top of another, and snowblowers can really be a lot of help. So, Father, I thank you and praise you for what you're doing here, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I've only seen a snowblower in Sears and Roebuck. Go ahead, Pat.
We love our snowblowers up here in Pennsylvania, no doubt about it.
Okay.
Father, I thank you that you don't waste any opportunity, Lord, that you work all of these things you use in our lives to work out and smoke out the details and just to reveal those places of influence that the devil would try to use in our lives. We praise you, Lord, that as we see and we open up our eyes and you reveal these things, Lord, that we can bring them to you, and we can cast these things down, these thoughts or places of doubt or whatever it would be, worry, concern, unbelief, whatever that you bring up in us, Lord. We just thank you for bringing these opportunities into our lives, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you would just strengthen Missy in this time, and that she would just rest, Lord, that you would give her rest and peace just to trust you as she hands over this situation and places it directly into your hands, Lord. And we just ask you to fill her with your Holy Spirit and give her wisdom how to cooperate with you in this process. And we thank you in just a spirit of support. Lord, I'm just thinking of all of the people that you, Daniel and the prophets, that you, Joseph, it comes to mind, and all these people, Lord, that you trained, you worked over, you nurtured, you matured, and you brought into your use as support people under the king, second in command, or whatever it was. They were all support people. Not needing to be in the lead, but simply being a support to that one in the lead or in authority or wherever you had them. So I thank you, Lord. I ask you just to provide grace and wisdom and understanding. And again, just a place of peace for Missy to rest in your ability, in your strength, in your grace, for by that grace we have all been saved, and we thank you for that, Lord. Just strengthen Merle in this time, give him wisdom and guide him into the solutions, Lord, the solutions for this snowblower, whatever it would be, if it would be to get it fixed or to work it over or to drain the gas or whatever it would be, Lord, you would give him wisdom and direct him to do so. And I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that you have given us, excuse me, to guide us into all truth. And we thank you for that in this situation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for doing that for Merle. Lord, in Jesus' name. Go ahead, Claire. Hey, Claire, can I ask you a personal question about your last name? Could you tell me the correct pronunciation?
With pleasure. It's
Claire. It's awful. Yeah.
Pina. Like Pina. But Pina.
Oh, okay. I can do that. Pina. Now I can speak Tasmanian.
Well, that's South African.
Well, yeah, that too. That too.
I would like.
Go ahead, to
pray. That's okay. I'd like to pray for Missy. Okay, we can say Pinar as well. You can roll the R at the end, and then you're saying it like my countryman. Pinar. So you can do it either way. You'll know which one I prefer. Anyway, back to Missy. Thank you, Lord, for keeping Missy so closely aligned to you, Father, and for drawing her daily into your presence and changing her from the inside out to be Jesus. Father, I come against all spirits of irritation, Jezebel, weak Jezebel attempts, frustration, rebellion, impatience. I come against those spirits and I command you to leave.
because this woman is not only covered by the blood, but she's walking in the righteousness of Christ. I also know that we do not labor under the curse. And so I speak healing into every bone of Missy's body. I align every cell, every hormone, every tendon and muscle to the word of truth, knowing that Christ bore the curse for our sins and that it is no more us that live, but Christ that lives in us. And I speak freedom and liberty into Missy's body. I speak a vitality and a youth into her body. Because if the spirit of the Savior lives in that tabernacle, it is perfect and it will do the work set before her. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the muscles to finish that driveway out with a shovel. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you all for your prayers. Love you all. Bless you.
Amen. Go ahead, Gabriel.
I don't know that he has much to say, but sometimes. Oh, wow. I just wanted to share with Sister Missy and come into agreement with the brothers and sisters who prayed with her, because I went through a similar trial this week. With the new vehicle that the Lord blessed us with, I was really anxious to get my husband into the garage and to reorganize things so that we would have plenty of room to get around the bigger vehicle and get in and out of the van versus what we used to park in the garage was a car. And our garage is pretty small to begin with since we live in a rental. And for one day, I kept talking to Theo and encouraging him and trying to get him out to the garage, thinking, well, I wouldn't dare go out there and try to do it myself because that's going to make him really displeased with me trying to haul boxes and reorganizing shelves. And so finally, the Lord just put it on my heart to give it to him. And so I knew that not only was I not to do anything, but also that I prayed that the Lord would touch Theo's heart and allow him to see that we need to reorganize the garage to make things more efficient for ourselves. And I also knew that if the Lord decided that the garage did not need to be reorganized, that I had to come to terms with that as well. And I agreed. And that was just by the grace of God. And I think it was like 2 days later, this morning, I should say, my husband took the van out to get registered and he came back and he said, that garage really needs to be organized. And I've been praying and I was thanking the Lord for putting it on Theo's heart and, you know, giving him the eyes to see what needs to be done. And we had such a great time and didn't take us long at all. And we were just both so pleased and blessed with how things turned out and how we arranged things and the things we got rid of. So, sister, give it up to the Lord as much as you're driven to try to do something about it. And he will give our husbands the wisdom to do so much better than we could have done it even ourselves. And I bless you to have those same results and that the Lord will give you complete rest until that's done.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, amen. Lord, for letting these women find that zipper on their mouth. In Jesus' name. All right, who's next?
Michael, I have to say, I have to learn the same lesson.
Yeah.
You know, in the same principle, you know, under many pastors and many bosses and that sort of thing. So this is definitely a universal lesson, you know, not just for women or wives.
Pat, I will not call on you again. No, I'm just kidding. You're right. You're right. Much as I hate to admit it. Amen. All right. Who's next? right. Anybody got something they'd like to talk about? Okay, I do. Let's see here. Talking about the spirit of man. What is the spirit of a human? Here's just a question that I'm going to throw out there. What is the spirit of a human? Where does it reside? How does it manifest itself? When does a person receive his spirit? Is it at birth or is it at rebirth? Did y'all get that? Okay. A lot of people don't know about the spirit of man. Come on, Andrew. I see you getting ready. Cocked up there. Go on, brother. Let her fly.
Well, I seem to remember one of the videos that I downloaded that when a baby gets born, he gets a fresh spirit. And that spirit is a clean spirit from God. And then that child will grow up and he'll need to be born again once he gets corrupted. He's talked about the age of reasoning, the age of knowledge. He spoke that there really isn't any age that, it's not an actual year that they get corrupted. It's just something as time passes, they get unclean. But when they're a baby, they're clean. But when they get unclean, that's when they need to be born again. And just because you're born again doesn't mean you won't go, that you can't be corrupted again. So you have to watch against that and you have to trust in the Lord for that. So I don't know if that answers the question, but that's what someone taught me anyway. Maybe if you rephrase the question or something. Yeah. Praise God.
Well, just remember this. When Adam fell from grace, the Lord said if he ate of that tree, he would die. We're leaving it there for right now. Go ahead, Pat.
I kind of approach this from I don't know if it's a different perspective, or I guess it's depending on where you're plugging in, is that we don't receive our spirit. We receive our body and soul, but our spirit is dead from the beginning, in the sense that we are unaware of God, or unaware of God, I believe. Doesn't mean that, and therefore, for the most part, we're unaware of God and really unaware of ourselves. And God, when we're born into the world, God holds us somewhat in a state of innocency there because of both of those facts. And I think that obviously there's a point in our lives where we become aware of our conscience, our sin, our self, or whatever it would be. And And I get like what Andrew's saying, there's a point in time where we make decisions or conscious decisions to violate that innocency and enter into a sense of guilt or whatever. I guess I'm just babbling now, but so I kind of see it as that, you know, the Lord says that in the Word, I think it says that we have a dead, our spirit is dead when we come into this world, and I think it's when he says, I'm looking back at Adam and Eve, he said, you know, do not eat of that tree of knowledge, the knowledge of good and evil, or the awareness there, because the day you do, you will die. And of course, the devil, you know, obviously tempted them after that fact, because they physically didn't die at that moment, but they became aware of sin. They become aware of guilt, even though they didn't know everything about it. They certainly, their awareness changed. And they didn't physically die at that moment. The next moment they weren't dead, but they brought death and separation from God and guilt and the curse of sin into their awareness and into, and so obviously we were born into that whole mechanism, I guess. And so I see it more in terms of awareness. You know, when we become born again, we become aware of Jesus. There's an awareness there. You know, when he says that my sheep hear my voice, because it's not that we are, our ears now are different. We're able to hear different frequencies. Our heart is opened up and we are aware of the presence of Jesus and God. We know him, and our spiritual ears are in tune with his voice. And so I kind of see it as changing from unawareness to awareness. I mean, I got to thinking one time, you know, very simply, you know, what is life? What, if you could boil it down to the essence, what is life? And I just boiled it down to life is being aware. And if you rest on that thought and think about that, eternal life is being aware of God, of the Lord, of Jesus. So I don't know if I answered that question or just rambled on, but there it is.
Amen. Well, you're going down the road that I'd like to go. I haven't done a major study on that, but I'm in the process of it. Anybody else want to bring on some when the spirit of man is alive? When is it? When is the spirit of man enter the man? Go ahead, Joe.
I would say you were born in your own spirit, and whatever time it differs from different people, is when the Lord draws you, when you recognize his your nature is bad. When the Lord draws you, you can start your process of being born again, getting a new spirit. Well, I would say it all differs from different people. Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, Missy.
What just popped into my head was, is we don't choose God. He chooses us. Mm-hmm. Related to what Joe was saying. He chooses us. He gives us eternal life. Then he calls us, invites us to partake. But when he chooses us, he grants us repentance, that initial repentance, mm-hmm. You know, that is when we're born again and we receive that new spirit. It's not our choice. That kind of blows our mind because that's so contrary to what most of us have been initially taught. Even though we read, you know, and we've recognized God chooses us, we don't choose him. But how David explains that is just, you know, that just, every time I hear him say that, you know, and it's so true. He chose us. He picked us out and chose to give us a born again life. Yeah, to give us life, give us his life. You know, and it's in Christ that we have that life. Without him, you know, we have nothing. But it's just it's amazing when you're just like. It's really humbling. It's like, oh gosh, why did he choose me? Wasn't anything of me, you know? It's like, oh my gosh, it's mind boggling, and we should just praise him and worship him with all that we have. The fact that he chose us because we had absolutely nothing to do with it, nothing to do with it.
But can we lose that spirit?
Yeah.
Okay.
We can, because he calls us. Many are called, but few are chosen. He calls us he invites us to partake of Christ. We're a baby. But then he teaches us. There's a lot, you know, he teaches us his word. He teaches us, he grows us up and teaches us that we need to feed ourselves. You know, and if we don't feed ourselves, we're not going to grow. You're either going ahead or you're falling back. You can't straddle the fence. It's one or the other. You're either gaining, growing in Christ, or you're falling away from him. There's no in between. And the only way that happens is by knowing him in his word. And only by knowing him in his word do we know his voice can. Because his word is spirit and it's life. And that's the only way we can know his voice and follow him, because he is the word. And the word was, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Is it in Revelation? It said on the Lord, it says the word of God or something like that. It says about, I think it's, mm-hmm. I don't know. He has like a banner on him or whatever or something. It says the word of God. Yeah, that's what I thought, Julie. I thought it was the thigh, but I wasn't absolutely sure. You know, the word of God. You know, so yeah.
Amen. All right, Isaac.
Hey. Right. I don't know that, really know the answer, Michael. I don't know that if it's something that can be full grown, you know, spirit of man. I mean, a horse has got a lot of spirit. It doesn't act like a chicken. I got chickens, I know. But anyway, the thing is, it's just, I don't know if I have the answer. But since I guess we're talking spirit of man and nature. I just want to say one thing that David Eel said, a revelation I thought was so amazing, and it has to do with the nature, it has to do with man, the nature of man. And oh man, it's amazing. It's truly blew my mind, and I just want to share it. I don't know what episode he was talking about it on, but Mariana shared it with me, and I was like, and that's what that meant. Because people say, see, me and that, what was it, like last Thursday, me and that pastor got together. We started talking about, he said he was going to do a thing on the name of Jesus. And we didn't go too deep. I didn't, you know, and I think it was pretty kosher. But we talked, he said he didn't really know what that meant, but he's been saying it lately. And I said, well, look at the Greek word, anoma. And we talked about it, you know, nature, character, and authority. And this has to do with that. David said, you know, people say, oh, Jesus turned the waters to wine. And well, that's all there is to that. Done deal. Nothing more to learn. Well, the thing is, it was six clay pots, right? Six is the number of man. And it was clay. We're earthen vessels, right? Made from the dust and the dirt. You know, Jesus took that clay and put it in that man's eyes. And I didn't know this until y'all explained it on the ministry. He finished creation. Y'all talked about that one day. And I was like, that's an awesome revelation. So true. And so, so six clay pots, number of man, earthen vessels, what they represent, and they were filled with water, the washing of the word with the water. And Jesus turned them to blood. Remember, he said, this is my blood. This wine represents my blood. That's his nature. So with the word, the washing of the word, in this earthen vessel, you'll get his nature. I know that doesn't answer your question, but I'm not sure I know the answer. But I wanted to share that since we're kind of in nature. And that's something David talked about. I couldn't remember where, but man, it was just, it's so amazing, and it just blessed me truly.
Amen. All right, anyone else? You remember in the, when God's first words about that total man, the whole man, in the first chapter of the Bible, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, Genesis 1:26. When you see God, what you think he's going to look like? He's going to look like you. He's going to look like us. That's what it says. Let us make man in our image. When Stephen looked up and saw God at his right, Jesus at his right hand, they were both standing there together, same size. He was average. Jesus was average. He was just a regular guy, made just like we are. God is too, except for the power. Here's what he said after Genesis, or in Genesis 1:26, and let them have dominion. Talking about us, when they create them. That, folks, ought to tell you something about who you are as a child of God and the Spirit of God that's in you. That's the powerful relationship that I actually wanted to get into, is that relationship between God and us. We are the same. We have the same authority and dominion that Adam had. He lost it. But then the second Adam came along, gave it back to us. He lost his spirit. The Spirit of God was left him at that time when Adam fell. But then when Jesus came along and he was resurrected, that spirit came into us as a child of God. And then what we do with it from that point on determines whether you walk in dominion, You walk in authority where he wants us to. We actually own the earth, folks. When this thing is over with, who do you think is going to be ruling the earth during the millennium? Yeah, we are. We are. Just like Adam ruled it, he had dominion. We're going to rule it just the same way. He lost it, but we're going to have it back. God, man is a dominion person when he's walking with God. If we ever figure that out, my gracious sakes alive, there's nothing can stop the bride. When we understand that the devil is under our feet because of who we are and who is what's in us. Every man in here is a king. Every woman in here is a queen. God made us to have three parts: spirit, soul, and body. Before you were born again, you just had a soul and a body, because your spirit was dead to God. And like Missy was talking about, somebody was praying for you for God to go ahead and grant repentance to you. Okay, I'm going to just throw it out there now. What, anybody else want to add something to it or question anything that I've said? It'd be fine. Yes, Claire, go ahead.
Michael, could I just read 1 Corinthians 15:45 to 49?
Yes, ma'am, you can.
So it also is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Howbeit, that is not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, then that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is of heaven. And as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly.
When, and that's exactly right. When the spirit of man died, his relationship with God died. That's when he sent him out of the garden, wasn't it? Because he didn't want him to eat of the eternal tree, did he? Eternal life tree. He didn't want him to eat of that. Adam's name, his nature changed from that spiritual being into a soulish being at that time. Now, when we became a new creature in Christ, new creation, we are a new creation, right? If we're a new creation, he gave us a new spirit. That new spirit is attached to God. We have direct communications with him now. We're back on the road just like Adam was before he fell. And before that, we weren't. We didn't have any. How many of you had a desire to run after the Lord before you came to the Lord? That's the last thing on my mind. The last thing on my mind. I wanted to do what I wanted to do, you know. But after I came to the Lord, I wanted to find more about him and what it is to be a Christian. Because I felt the love. Anybody here not feel the love of God when you came to it? Ooh, man, I did. I just felt clean all over. I said, what is this? Felt so clean. And then when I got baptized, ooh, I thought that was, man, that was awesome. My whole countenance changed from somebody who was dead to somebody who was alive in Christ. And boy, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I took off like a rocket. God put his love in us. It's up to us to feed that love with his word. That love is, that's number one in his chart there, isn't it? The fruit of the Spirit is love. I think that's number one. I think joy is next. You remember when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus was sitting there scratching his head the whole time he was talking to him? He told him, he said, you must be born again, Nicodemus. Nicodemus didn't understand what he was talking about because he didn't have a new spirit. He didn't understand the spiritual things that Jesus was talking about. He couldn't. He didn't have the spirit to do it.
Yeah,
he was born.
He even said, should I be getting back in my mother's womb?
Yeah. Yeah. And he was 90 then. His mama been gone a long time. Lord have mercy. And he told him, he said, you're a big high priest here and you don't know this. Come on now. There is a birth of the natural flesh and a birth of the spirit. You must be born again. That's what he was telling me. Nicodemus didn't have a clue. What's Greg putting out there? If you're going to put it down there, come on, talk to us. Yeah. What happened to Adam? After he put out of the garden, he created a lot of anger and bitterness, didn't he? Some faction there, murder. Whew. My goodness, it all went downhill fast, didn't it? And here we are at the end of the gene pool. And we see some clearly stupid people out there. I'm telling you, it's just amazing to me. But God help them, you know? We pray for them. And want God to do something with them. You know, just talk a little bit about our own self here. We have to be, the man inside of us has to be the one that kills that old man. It has to be us that kills that old man. In other words, the spirit that's in us now has to be a tyrant against that old man. Just bless God out. And that's what killing this flesh is all about, is getting in the word and understanding the word. Once you put that word in you, you get that word in you, anger goes, impatience goes, all that stuff goes. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, verse that goes right along with what you just said was, if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live.
Mm-hmm. That new man in you has to be the boss, right? That new spirit in you has to be the boss. If you don't, if he's not in control, you got a wild man running loose inside you, don't you? Yeah. we're all looking for the Spirit to be king in our life. And the way we do that, just like we've been talking about, everybody's been talking about, reading, studying the Word, getting that Word in us in order for us to bear the fruit of the Spirit that God wants us to. We can't allow the old man to live. He's dead. And that's what we have to remember. That old soulish man is dead. Go ahead, Missy.
We have to buffet the body and make it our slave.
Yeah, you can't sit on the sidelines, can you? You can't just sit there and say, well, God's doing it. Oh, yeah? Well, how come you're not any different? Mm-hmm. It's something we got to do, too. We got to put that word in us and act on that word. We have to be doers of the word as well. That's yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Missy.
I'm sorry. That's kind of like greasy grace, like David talks about. We have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. He gives it to us. He gives us that born-again spirit. He chooses us. But now it's up to us to go on. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a daily, moment-by-moment choice. Mm-hmm. But you don't even have the power to choose. It's like, I mean, you know, I'll be the first to admit, I have my times of complacency and apathy. You know, you can't be slothful. You know, and it's like, and if you see that in yourself, you got, okay, Lord, help me. Give me the grace to want to work in me to will and to do of your good pleasure. I mean, we don't even know how to ask God things without him telling us in his word. I mean, that we need the word to know even what to ask him.
Amen. We have to learn to have the mind of Christ, right?
Amen. Renewed. Yes.
And that's a spiritual mind. It's not a carnal mind. We need to keep that in mind. Even as a Christian, we all can still have a carnal mind, and you won't be bearing the fruit that God wants you to bear if you keep that carnal mind. Go ahead, Pat.
I was just thinking how David explains it very well in when he, and he's mentioned it so many times. It's kind of like his 1 Corinthians 3:18, or I believe it's, he's always looking in the mirror and seeing Jesus. Mm-hmm. One of his favorite verses. But this is also, he mentions that there are only two lives to live. The life of Jesus, or the life of the world. And as I was thinking about that and putting it kind of in a more, even more personal application, there's only two lives available to live. It's the life of Jesus, or it's your own life. And When I first heard that, you know, I had to think about that for a while, about, you know, how Jesus, he gave up all of the Godhead capabilities and submitted to being born into the world as a man. And he laid aside all those, shall we say, benefits of being God. And when he came as a man, had all of the same temptations, struggles, every bit as much and more than we experience through our process, so that he could come, receive the Spirit, be filled with God's Spirit, be filled with God's Word, and through that Spirit, overcome the devil in that first illustration of temptation, and then walk in the power of God and overcame everything. And I think the thing that the Lord showed me is that he overcame everything. You know, this may sound a little bit weird. It probably is weird. But think about he took the sin nature to the cross. Well, where did he get that sin nature? Was he on the cross and then the Father automatically, put this sin nature on him and he died with it there? My personal belief is that Jesus received that. I'm not going to say that. I'll leave it out there and leave that for everybody to ponder. But he took that sin nature to the cross and killed it, took it to the cross and raised, obviously, 3 days later. And he provided us the picture of exactly what we are able to do with the same Holy Spirit. We can take this sin nature and believe that it was crucified. It died on the cross, and we can walk through the same process and receive that same benefit that the Lord provided for us in taking that sin nature to the cross. I lost track of what I was saying now, but because I got off on a tangent, I was thinking of something else. But it's when I started thinking about that, Jesus was a man. He had a spirit, soul, and body. And as a man, he took himself, he went to the cross, and he died as a man, sinless. So therefore, when God raised him from the dead and he went to heaven, now there is a credit in heaven of one life, because Jesus could only give one life. He was a man. He came as a man, and he can only die as a man. And being guiltless, he went to heaven and left a life here that could be lived to go to heaven. But it's not, I used to think, and I kind of think that it may be the apostate mindset, is that Jesus gave us a life, and that I can have a life and you can have a life, and he's forgiven us our individual life, so I can live the best I can and make it through and do the best I can. And God knows that I can't live according to the law, but I can do the best I can. I can make it to heaven because I got the free Trump card, not tree, Trump card, but I've got the Jesus card here. I can flip up there. When I go up to the pearly gates, and God says, well, why should I let you into heaven? I said, well, I slammed the old Jesus card down on the table and said, I've got Jesus. Well, it's not the way it works. It's that he left a life here. There's only one life. that's going to heaven. And we have the ability to transition from an old, dead, crucified, sin nature influenced life of the soul and transition into that life of Jesus, which is believing his word, walking out his word, and being convinced from within and allowing that word to go deep into our heart and become us. And that's the life of Jesus in his word that's going, and its fruit as it is, and the fruit that is produced in us, which is going to heaven. And that life in believing God's word and making that transition is available to each and every one of us who believes, who receives that word and brings it into his heart. You receive the same life. You receive the same life I do and you do, and everybody that receives that word and believes that word and receives that, it becomes Jesus in us. And that's the life that's going back. That's the one that gets into heaven. So I don't know how I got here, but that's where I'm ending up. I'm going to park there. Thanks.
Amen. Thank you, Pat. All right. Anyone else? Anybody else? Surely y'all got something to say about it. Yeah, it was a blessing. Yeah, Lacey, go ahead.
It's actually, it's Justin. Can you hear me?
Okay, yes, sir. We can.
Well, I always go back to like the breath of life that was given to Adam. And so after Adam, and then he sinned and was like disobeyed God, then the flesh after that was born into disobedience. And so when Jesus came, he was able to fulfill it and be obedient till the end. And so when we get that new breath, that's obedient breath of life, which is the truth. And so, and it made me think too, is when a baby's born, for that baby to accept that first breath of disobedience, it has to be smacked, right? So whenever baby's born, get smacked by the doctor to make sure that it'll cry and accept that first. So that was all. That's what I had to say about it.
Yeah, I remember that doctor slapped me, boy. I wanted some of him. God, it's a love tap, wasn't it? Thank you, Justin. Oh, my. Thank you. Oh, my. Oh, boy. Go ahead, Andrew. Get us out of here, buddy.
So, yeah, since we're going to be looking at the renewal here of our old, from our old lives to the new lives, I'll mention something out of Matthew chapter 3, actually. I think it's verse 12. And it's Jesus has his fan in his hand. And the fan there, it makes wind, and this wind is the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit is separating the wheat from the chaff. And the chaff is something you don't really want to have. It gets burnt up with unquenchable fire so that there's only fruit left in you. You know, you got 30, 60, and 100, so you got to have 100. If you can get 100, and that's all there's left, and all the chaff is blown off, because that's what he said he would do there, he does it. No one else can do it. And he'll blow the chaff away, and all the wheat will be there. And he's going to put it in his garner. You can compare that with what it says in chapter 13 of, I believe that was mentioned either on the Bible study or last time, the good land and the bad land. And that sort of collates these two verses together, where they had the bad seed by an enemy sown in to the good land that had the good seed sown in. So, of course, the bad seed, if you were a farmer, it goes away with the chaff too, because you can't use that stuff. It's not fruit. And, of course, in the case of the chaff there, he just wants fruit from it. That's all. Nothing else but his fruit. And that's what's supposed to shine forth at him, is his fruit. And he's constantly helping us and doing this with us. You know, I guess the chaff would be the flesh. It's the body there, and the fruit's the fruit. And it's just so plain and simple that it's all in his hands. He takes care of it. He's got a fan. The fan is the wind. It's the spirit. And he takes care of all of this in us. So, you know, and talked about the trees before that too. So that already the axe is at the root of the trees now, ready to cut them down that don't bear fruit. And you still have that other tree parable there, where he says, cut this tree down. No, it's not bearing fruit. And then he said, no, Lord, of course you had a real good intercessor there for you, was saying, like, just give me another year. Let us put good soil. Let's dung the soil. Let's water. Let's trim it. Give it another year so that it can bear fruit. And that's what you need to have. He compares the tree to a man. That's Psalm 1. Psalm 1 is the blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's a worldly man. Nor seateth in the seat of the scornful. I guess it's standing and sitting in the third one there. And nor standeth in the with the sinner, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Is and he's got he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and the water's there, the water's the word, sanctifying, cleanse you. And of course, you know, even the leaf, you know, you can compare that tree with the tree somewhere in there in Revelation, you know, for the healing of the nations. So it's a pretty good tree, you know, and then it's got the chaff there too, you know, in that same Psalm 1. It'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. There's Jesus's fan. You know, and you know, I was a Christian that tried to memorize these things by heart. And you're supposed to write these verses upon your heart, a heart of flesh. And the substance used there to write this word there is the Spirit of God. And that's what we need. We need to have the Spirit of God do this. This word, you know, sometimes, you know, you don't reprimand a child if he wants to learn the Word of God. It's a good thing that he would learn this. because it's that much simpler for the Lord to change it to spirit. And it is spirit and life. So, you know, I have a list. I kind of call it my journal. And I used to pray quite a bit that the Lord would put word in me so that I can have some word, because all these Christians seem to have a whole bunch of word. You just think, oh, you know, he put some word in me. And then I stopped and I went, I heard a voice, and he said, what's wrong, Andrew? And I said, well, Lord, I just like to remember all of this word, but I just want it to be alive in me. I don't know. Like, he must have said, oh, he's got it. if he fell off his throne, I don't know. He must have just, he went, what's going on down there? Some baby Christian just spoke something right there. And I still have that list somewhere, all my little Bible verses that I've tried to memorize. Oh, I can't remember. I use the King James too, so I had to change some of them, you know. They got that comprehend when it's supposed to be apprehend, and now I had to switch them all around. So I got somewhere between a King James and a numeric English New Testament. And I got an ASV on the side and a new King James version here. And now my son's reading NIV. You know, I was just so happy. He was there. These guys were talking, and he was opening his Bible, trying to find something. And I was going, that's the Bible. Praise God. I just get so happy when he's over here and someone to talk to the Lord about. And he doesn't know how much he's helping me. And he's thinking, well, Dad, you know, I need help. Like, I want to be like you. And I said, oh, no. don't look at me, man. You got to be like Jesus. Praise God. Oh, I was really hoping for something else today to happen, but it's all in the Lord's hands. Praise God. Amen.
Amen, Andrew. Well, you got something now going on here with your son that a lot of us are still praying for. That's good. That's awesome. Go ahead, Claire.
The thought just came to me when Andrew was talking, like when his son said, I want to be like you. I mean, every dad wants to hear that, right? But what makes us so amazing is that Andrew's already dead. So he's just seeing Jesus. And he wants to be like Jesus. And that is just the biggest blessing in the world. Praise God for Andrew's faithful prayers. Praise God for Andrew's faith that was given to him. And Lord, we thank you for Ben. And we pray blessing upon that boy who is now a man and who is going to walk in the footsteps of Christ. Thank you, Father. Please give him a godly wife too, Lord. Super
glory godly. To God. Glory to God for everything. And I praise God for it all. Thank the Lord. And it was all of him, and I did nothing. And it just shows you just how much you don't have to do. Really, it's done. And I was shocked. You know, you're walking in my apartment with a Bible in your hand. And he's getting baptized. And it was quite a while from the time he had his dream to, I'm just so touched, you know, for that dream, because I can reflect on something and I say, see, that's where God was calling you in a dream. And I showed him right there in the book of Acts, you know, this is something that's not really that natural. It's something for the time period we're in now too. So.
I didn't mean to puff you up, brother. I just wanted to say that, you know, it is God. So I hope you take it as that.
Just in case anyone listens to the recording who might not know what we're talking about here, because you got to be careful sometimes, because there might be some newbies around, and there's lots of little children around too. And they love the Lord too, sometimes better than us, you know. they'll say things like when they're 5 years old, oh, if I saw Jesus, I'd kiss him right on the lips. And then you just say to him, yeah, but would you lie to him? Oh, no, there's a change in love there for you. Anyway, I'm just a practice dad. He's got to have the real dad because he's my dad too. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. I'm bringing all of our sons and grandsons in. And great grandsons. Amen. All right, anyone else? Yes, Ozzy.
I have a question, actually. I don't know the question. So, I don't really know exactly where in Genesis it is when he made God in his image. Maybe chapter 6, I don't know. But, so, if we're saying, okay, see, I'm trying to put this together. So they made God.
They said, let us make man in our image. Sorry, hang on.
Going on. All Testament things.
Well, cast that demon out of that thing, man.
thing, man. Anyways, okay, so they said, let us make man in our image. And do you suppose that the breath has anything to do with it? You know, do you suppose that? What do you think? Because in Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Or is that just for the soul? The reason I ask is because Jesus also breathes on the disciples and the Holy Spirit. Am I missing something? Is there something you can elaborate on?
What does it say?
Here, I got it right here. Well, in Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living. Well, I think it answers it, don't it? That's what you're getting at. So it's soul. Soul is breath. Okay. Because I was thinking, well, easy enough. Hey, thank you.
I didn't answer it. You answered it. Go ahead, Pat.
I think Isaac answered it, but it's interesting that when the Lord created man in verse 26 of chapter 1, I believe he created man, he created our spirit. And of course, a spirit doesn't need breath or anything because the spirit is spirit. And all those things in that 6 days of creation were all created by speaking them into existence. But if you look at the sequence of those things, they were created in the 6 days, but the formation of them came later as they were needed in the sequence of events. Because it said, I think in that in chapter 2, I think that verse 7 or whatever that Isaac is referring to, it doesn't say that God created man there. He said he formed man. He scooped the elements, the dirt up, and he formed man, and then he blew the breath or the spirit that he created in verse 26, 1 of 26, and blew it into man, in that being that he just formed out of the elements of the earth. And when he blew that spirit in, it became a living soul, which is where I got the foundation for what I said before, is that we were created spirit. Our spirit was created and was in residence, waiting in heaven, in God, unaware of God, because we were dead. We were unaware. And in the time of our earthly journey, me being in 1952, God formed the elements together created my body and soul and introduced my spirit into that scene in 1952, and I became a living soul, still dead in the spirit, still unaware of God. My spirit now came to reside in that body that he created, or was created, procreated, shall we say. But, and much the same as Jesus waiting in the heavenly realm until God prepared him a body. And then he was blown into that body, and that body became a living soul. So I guess that's where I got the, from those very verses that you're talking about, Isaac, that's where I got, I guess, my foundation of the sequence of events as it happens. But anyway.
Amen. You have something else you want to say, Isaac? Okay. Well, okay. Anybody else got anything they'd like to say about the spirit of man? So when Jesus breathed on the disciples, what about it?
Well, okay, yes, you know, in Genesis, where God did breathe on the man he formed out of the dust, the first man. But then, we think we blew it, but I think, you know, I don't think that's quite an accurate description of God's mighty plan. But, you know, as Rianne pointed out, and that was fascinating to look at, Rianne, I looked at some of the Hebrew behind it. It was, when Adam had Seth, you know, in his own likeness and his own image, that's exactly the same word in Hebrew about with, you know, when God formed Adam, or Adam and Eve, I should say. But that breathing on, you know, we were dead. And Jesus rolled up after the resurrection in the upper room, and first thing he does, he breathes on them, which is, you know, I think that's incredibly significant. That you know, that we now get life again. So that spirit was dead. Yes, you know, we're born with that, you know, with that death. it's really hard to use the right words, because, you know, well, we're born, but we're dead, and we have to be born again. But that's a different birth, a different begatting. And yes, Nicodemus, the great teacher of Israel, didn't get it. Until, and it's all inferred, because he was at the cross. He had to be at the cross because he was at the burial, or the interment of Jesus' body. And because it was done in such a short space of time, and it was he, Joseph of Arimathea, and there always has to be a Mary there, but yes, some of the women, but this is some of the inference from this. Nicodemus went out and got 100 years wages worth of spices and perfumes, etc. Now, what inspired him to do that, which he would have had to do in a very limited time, to go to all the perfumers in Jerusalem, or, you know, I would have had his servants do it. You know, in today's dollars terms, I must did some maths on this. It was around about $5 million worth of stuff. But Nicodemus is at the death of Jesus, and he sees an incident where the spear is thrust into Jesus' side and outflowed blood and water. And that was the birth of the ecclesia, or us, if you like, because blood and water is what flows out at a birth. In the side of a man, that doesn't normally happen, but it has happened once before. And that was when God took, you know, put the wound in Adam's side to bring out his perfect bride. I don't know that this question can be, you know, can be properly answered without, you know, articulated, because it is so deep, this whole spirit thing. You know, we try and put it in a box and dot points and stuff like that. And I'm, you know, I'm sitting here thinking about it. Bear in mind, I haven't had a lot of sleep so far today either, but I'm struggling to put into words, because it is so marvelous and so wonderful, et cetera. And the things that God did, or in the whole plan of things, are just, you know, it's why are we worthy, or, you know, why are we, you know, why do we get such attention? And he dotes on us hugely. So, yes, that spear in Jesus' side, you know, Nicodemus, the great teacher of Israel, the penny must have dropped at that point of time. And he goes off and gets all these perfumes, which are all spoken of in Song of Solomon as all these wedding scents. And you must have been able to smell it for you know, a block or so around the whole tomb. Anyway, as I say, I can't articulate that whole thing.
No, that was good. That was good. Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Just add something. What I understand is when God formed man, he blew his breath into man and it became a soul. His spirit came into man, became getting a soul. Now, when a man get corrupted, his spirit get corrupted. But because your spirit get corrupted, your soul get corrupted. That's why you have to be born again, and then ultimately born your soul, and then ultimately your body. So your spirit and your soul get corrupted. Well, Adam. And why? That's why with Jesus get to start us, and a spirit of Jesus get his life. So that's your spirit get born with Jesus, when you get new life with your soul, and then ultimately body. So I just want to add that, what I understand.
Okay. Well, I want to thank everybody for participating. It's been a pretty enlightening night tonight. I enjoyed it. I really have. We're out of time now. Has anybody got any prayer requests before we... Yeah, Debbie. You need to unmute. I can't read your lips. I just can't do that.
Sorry. I'm trying to figure out how to figure out this raising your hand, nothing, and I just can't. Anyway, something like this. But I kind of wondered if we could just... What Andrew brought up about his son, if we could just have a corporate prayer for all our children.
Children, go ahead, yeah. Just, go ahead.
Well, could you pray?
Are you talking about, I'm not real sure.
Our children coming to the Lord, our Lord drawing.
Oh, our children. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure can. All right. Well, Father, we just lift up. You told us we have household salvation. And we believe it. We're all of us are praying for our children and our grandchildren. And Lord, we know we understand that you're going to grant repentance to them when it's ready, Lord. When they're ready, I don't know. I know you can do it. like a light switch. I've seen you do that too. And we ask, Father, we pray right now that you do a quick work in our households. That you bring all of our children and our grandchildren in, our children's children in. And I thank you for it, Father. We believe what your word says about household salvation, that you're going to grant it to us. And we thank you, Lord, that we have an open heaven. And we believe that every one of that we prayed for is coming in. Even our siblings, Lord. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.
Parents too.
And Michael. Michael, I'd like to pray for Sue. She's just not feeling good. Her stomach's really out. That. Would you pray for her?
Yeah, you say she got an upset stomach?
Yeah, I'm just sick and just not feeling good.
Okay. Well, Father, we just thank you that you've given us authority over the enemy. And in the name of Jesus right now, we command that spirit of infirmity off of her and all the symptoms to go from her right now in the name of Jesus. She's a child of the living God, and she doesn't have to put up with it. We don't put up with it for her. In the name of Jesus, we command you to go from her body and leave her now with all your symptoms. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, amen. Jesus.
It's done. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Tell her to get up, start cooking something. Amen. Yeah, Greg.
So I know you're on overtime. Can I just add to the prayer about the family bit? Just a few things came to mind. And I'm going to assume the answer is yes, and I'm going to go ahead. Lord, I want to just echo the prayers that have been said, and I just want to bring some scripture before the throne. Lord, you say if we delight ourselves in you, you will give us the desire of our heart, the desires of our heart. And Lord, these are our family you have put in our lives, or us in their lives. And we do desire that. If it's good enough for the Philippian jailer, Lord, then we claim the same thing. We also, I bring up the account of Rahab and how her family, she gathered them under her roof. And because they were under that, they were saved from all that happened at Jericho. So, Lord, for our children, those with grandchildren, those children who are yet to be born or even yet to be conceived, and yes, Lord, brothers and sisters and parents, that salvation, Lord, do for us what you did for Rahab and her family, what you did for the Philippian jailer, for all of us as well. Amen. That's it.
Amen. Yes, Lord. We just hook our faith up with Greg and believe us. You're doing it now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, we thank you that everybody tonight is going to get a good night's sleep. Wake up in the morning supernaturally energized in the name of Jesus. And we praise you for it, Father, that the love of God would show throughout the day through their spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. Good night, y'all.